Well, sure. It's Richard, R-I-C-H-A-R-D, Wilkins, W-I-L-K-I-N-S.
And your title with ASA?
This year I am the first vice president for American Soybean Association, which makes me the incoming president for 2016.
Okay, and that's as of when do you officially switch over?
At our board meeting in December of 2015.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, I guess for starters, talking a lot of biotech in the last week with what the EU did twice in a week, really. What does that do to you guys as a domestic industry, trying to get a little bit more export certainty for your products?
Finally, the deregulation of the four soybean biotech events that we've been waiting for means that we can now in the United States move towards full commercialization of high oleic soybeans. The consumer's desire to have a zero trans fat in their diets has caused us to lose some market share for soybean oil for human consumption. High oleic soybean oil, with its attributes of not needing to be partially hydrogenated, will help us to hopefully recapture some of that lost market share.
Okay, and so what about here in the U.S.? I mean, biotech is still a huge debate with the GMO labeling and things of that nature, and we've got a bill on the House side, but no companion Senate bill. I mean, are you guys working on finding something for on the Senate side of things there?
Yes, we are. We are working for a Senate bill. They are waiting to see how things progress through on the House side. We've been American Soybean Association is one of the founding members of the Coalition for Safe and Affordable Food. So this voluntary GMO food labeling initiative is one of our top policy priority issues for this year. You know, it's important for our consumers to be able to know what's in their food and to be able to make the choices that they want to make. The idea of having 50 different state-by-state labeling initiatives is just not an efficient way to move forward. So as we see it, the ability to be able to, for a company that wishes to voluntarily label their product as being guaranteed to be GMO-free, having a framework and a system in place to enable them to be able to do that is only going to be a positive way forward in this dialogue over safe food.
So is it this particular bill that you guys are really in favor of? Is it just get us a national solution to this debate?
Any solution? No, not just any solution. We need to work on by going forward in some of the ways that the Pompeo and Butterfield bill do that. Ultimately, what we feel is the proper path to go forward would be to have within the United States Department of Agriculture a system most probably administered through the Agricultural Marketing Service that would devise a standard similar to the USDA Certified Organic Standard as far as what conditions must be met in order for a food to be able to carry a non-GMO label on it. And then that provides the certainty that the producer that wants to produce for that standard and wants to produce to sell into that marketplace knows what's expected of them and knows what they have to do in order to achieve that that label status.
All right, and I know water quality has been a particular issue for soybean growers, particularly in Iowa. I know they've been doing a lot of that, but have there been a whole lot of changes on the water quality and air quality standpoint from you guys, or is it basically just opposition to waters in the United States?
You know, I think regulatory overreach affects every farmer, regardless of which commodity that they produce, and no matter which state that they produce it in. The economic burden that's placed upon farmers when regulatory agencies are allowed to overreach their authority. And this expansion of the waters of the United States is just a classic example of a federal agency trying to overreach the authority that was given them under the Clean Water Act. We do not believe it was the legislative intent for the federal government to establish the the framework for what states have to do in order to meet water quality goals. You know, in the Chesapeake Bay watershed where I farm at, we've been dealing with these issues for over 25 years now. The most beneficial way that we've been able to achieve the nutrient reductions has been through incentivizing programs, giving farmers the incentives, the education to adopt best management practices. And we're seeing, you know, it takes anywhere from 10 to 100 years for a nutrient to move through the soil.
Yeah.
And so for over 10 years now, we've been seeing the improvement in the water quality. That's due as a result to the changes in the way that we farm that we began 25, 35 years ago.
Yeah, and I heard Chip Bowling, the NCGA president, say one time that he's also in the Chesapeake Bay watershed, and he said that those a lot of the requirements that were placed upon him really made him a better farmer. I mean, is that an opinion that you would share?
I would say that on my farm, I've really not had to change very many of my farming practices.
Okay.
I had already adopted conservation tillage. I had already adopted annual testing of my soils. I'd already adopted all those ways of being able to reduce the amount of nutrients that I had to purchase, reducing the amount of nutrients that it took to produce an optimum yield. Where the burden has been placed upon me is that where before I would take the soil sample myself, I would send it to the laboratory, I would analyze that with the training that I had had through agronomy courses to be able to analyze what nutrients I needed to apply to my soils to reach my yield goals. Now, instead of being able to do all those things myself, the regulatory burden is that I have to hire someone that's certified.
Mm. Okay.
And I have to pay them. So it's just for my medium-sized farming operation, it's resulted in an increase in my operating expenses of $8,000 a year.
And do they have to be third-party, or could you yourself get certified for that?
Well, I do use a third-party consultant for my farming operation. There's a whole array of professionals that have been certified. In our area, we can use our county soil conservation districts to provide those nutrient management writing services. However, I prefer to use a private consultant because I think that their level of ability and their level of expertise may be more so than what the conservation district has.
Okay, and let's also talk a little bit about trade here. A lot up in the air as far as trade is concerned. With TPA being on the floor probably in the next couple of weeks here, what is ASA pushing for throughout the TPA and really throughout the whole trade process?
Well, you know, Trade Promotion Authority was created under the Nixon administration. Every president since then has had the Trade Promotion Authority at some time during their administration. We think that it's time for this administration to be granted Trade Promotion Authority. It's extremely important in order for our trade representatives to be able to get these free trade agreements, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, to be able to get these trade agreements finalized and be able to present them to Congress for them to hopefully be able to pass before the end of this year. You know, at the same time that the multilateral trade agreements are being negotiated, bilateral trade agreements with individual trading partners are taking place. We're at risk here that if we're not able, especially with the TPP, if we're not able to reach an agreement, reach a deal, get it passed and be able to get it enacted, then we risk not only gaining the benefits of increased market access, but of losing the existing market share that we have in some of these markets.
Yeah, because I imagine, I mean, especially you guys with TPP, I mean, that's potential for some very large markets when you're talking, you know, not China right now, potential to add them later, and China and Japan, and a lot of other products or places that could really be good consumers of soy, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Not just the direct benefits of seeing increased consumption of soy oil, but the livestock products, getting greater access for our poultry, our pork, our dairy, our eggs, getting increased market access for those products, because you know those products produced domestically here are also big consumers of soybean meal.